lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. By your grace then I have found, Lord, let my feet on higher ground.
It's a good life. Coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Now, if you've been following along in our study, you know that we've been looking at a book written by Dr. Andy Bloom, pastor of Central Baptist Church, Ocala, Florida. We've been looking at biblical church structure, order. And this is something that many churches fail to see. And when I speak of churches, I'm speaking of people, the people who make up a local fundamental independent Baptist church. And there's several things that we as the children of God are supposed to be doing. And one of those things that we're to be doing is to love each other. We're to love as brothers and sisters in Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, it says, "And I, brethren," this is Paul speaking, "and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able." Well, the word carnal means pertaining to the flesh, or fleshly, sensual, opposed to spiritual. In other words, the carnal pleasure, fleshly pleasure, and being in a natural state. And, of course, that means acting like unregenerate, unsaved people. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, it says, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." We, saved people, grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord by studying his word. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Well, some Christians cannot witness or teach the word of God because they're too busy causing envy, strife, and division in the church. And this is not to be done. This is not so according to the word of God. We're not to do that. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 3 says, "For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" All Christians have the opportunity and ability to teach new believers if they take the opportunity and present the Word of God as it is to men as they are. Again, the command is given to us by our Lord to witness for Him. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." And then we read in John 17 and verse 18, it says, "As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world." Some people do not believe that they are witnesses for the Lord. Well, many people aren't, because even as a saved person, that person could feel, well, I'm not a witness for the Lord. And if they're not witnessing for the Lord, it's certainly true. They're not a witness for the Lord. But the Bible says that we, as saved people, we are to be witnesses. We're to tell other people about Jesus Christ. Well, the Bible says that in John 17, verse 18, Jesus said, "So have I also sent them into the world." Well, who are them spoken of by Jesus in John 17 and verse 18? It's those of us who are saved. Them. We are them, according to John 17, 20. Who? John 20, 21 says, you. Not only am I to be a witness, but you are to be a witness according to the Word of God. John 17 and verse 20 says, neither pray I for these alone. This is Jesus speaking. He's speaking to his disciples at that time. He says, I'm not praying for them alone, but for them who also which shall believe on me through their word. In other words, their word, that is the writings of those who penned down under the inspiration of God, God's breathed word, the inspired word of God, the Bible, the authorized version, the King James Bible. I believe it is the word of God. But those who are to be proclaiming the word of God are those who have the word of God that has been penned down, breathed by God. That's those of us who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Once again, who is Jesus giving instructions to in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20? Who is Jesus sending into the world to proclaim truth? John chapter 20, verse 21 said, Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. We have a commission from the Lord Jesus Christ himself to go into all the world and preach and teach the word of God. Not only for preachers, not only for the man of God who stands in the pulpit, but that person who names Jesus Christ, each one of us are to be a witness for the Lord. And might I say this, if I would be allowed to offer also that Dr. Bloom in his book that I'm quoting from and I'm reading from and I'm taking excerpts from the Biblical Church Structure Order. If I could add to that or say something about this book, it was written so as to let us know the importance of people going to heaven, not only to instruct people who are on their way to heaven, but it's written also to let us know, the people of God, let us know the importance of people going to heaven. It's so important that you and I, as the children of God, tell other individuals Jesus saves. Well, I see something else that gets my attention here, and that is legitimate members of God's church go to heaven. That's who goes to heaven, the legitimate members of God's church. A genuine member of God's church is one who is born again. John chapter 3, and we read about Nicodemus there, says there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This is John chapter 3 and verse 1. Verse 3 goes on to say of John chapter 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, he answered Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Then Jesus says in verse 7 of John chapter 3, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. A person cannot go to heaven, be a true member of God's church, by trying to do righteous works. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Feeding the hungry, paying money to a church, going to church, teaching a Sunday school class, joining a local church, these are all good things, but this will not get a person to heaven. In fact, God says all of our good works of righteousness, all of those things are no good. It's no better than a bunch of filthy rags. Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6 says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. It makes no difference how hard we work on our own trying to get to heaven. We're not going to get there on our own. It takes the Lord Jesus Christ. In order to go to heaven, a person must repent, according to Luke chapter 13 and 2 Peter chapter 3. Repentance means to change your mind as to how to get to heaven. Jesus said in Luke chapter 13 and verse 3, he says, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And the Bible goes on to say this in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward." And he's speaking to mankind here. "Is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Repentance is changing one's mind and going in the right direction. But you see, when a person changes the mind, that doesn't save the person. You say, "Well, you said you have to repent." You certainly do. But notice this. A person needs to be willing to let Christ change their heart. A person needs to invite Jesus into their heart to be ready for heaven. Romans chapter 10 and verse 13 says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." You repent. That means to change your mind. You're willing to do what God says to do. And he says you must believe with your heart. "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness." Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20 says, "Behold," this is Jesus speaking, "I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me." In other words, Jesus will be with us once we've trusted him as Lord and Savior. John chapter 14 and verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." The Bible is clear. The Bible says that we are to admit that we cannot go to heaven our way. And you need to do that. If you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, admit you can't go to heaven your way. Your way leads to hell. Admit you must go God's way to heaven, because your way leads to hell. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." That means hell, eternal separation from God. If you were to die right now, without Jesus Christ, you would go into hell. You would be separated from God throughout all the eternity that it never ends. Hell will be cast into the lake of fire one day, and you will be there in the lake of fire if you do not trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For the wages of sin is death. But the good news is this: the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You need to go God's way. Romans chapter 10 and verse 13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And that word "whosoever," it means you. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can be saved right now. You can call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, believing that he is the Son of God, believing that he died on the cross of Calvary. He shed his blood for you. He was buried. And he came out of that tomb on the third day. He was born of a virgin, and we celebrate that at Christmas time. He was in this world, but he never sinned. And that's the reason that we need to call upon him. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, Jesus Christ. If you'll bow your heart to him today, realizing that you can't go to heaven your way, realizing that he is the one who can save you, Jesus Christ will come into your heart. "Lord, come into my heart. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. As best I know how right now, Lord, I'm receiving you as my Lord and Savior. Please save me so that I can go to heaven and see you one day. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul."
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.